Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, Past and Present. The stuff is new and you won't hear it anyplace else. This is Behind the Scenes, where we let you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Loy Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time I'm asking Preston Jones at Colonial Williamsburg. He's a silversmith. And I guess the first question is, what does a silversmith do?
Well, a silversmith in Colonial Williamsburg, we make all sorts of 18th century silver items, coffee pots, bowls, flatware, spoons, forks, ladles. For instance, I make a lot of ladles in the shop, and I'm finishing up a teapot now, which is pretty interesting, and just about anything you would want in silver, you can imagine.
How many people in the shop?
There's six of us who work there. We have, right now, two apprentices, three journeymen, and a master silversmith. I am a journeyman silversmith, so I've been...
Okay. How did you get interested in that work?
Well, that's quite an interesting story. I was in art school, just out of high school. I did photography work in high school, and I was very interested in arts and photography, and also I went to art school in Fort Lauderdale. And learned photography there, and it was a two-year school. I'm from this area, so when I came back home, I needed a job, and just got a job in Colonial Williamsburg. Before I went to photography school, I worked at the what was the Information Center, and that was in 1975 when I started there. And I worked there for a few years and went off to school, and I came back and got a job with Colonial Williamsburg once again. When I came back, I worked at the distribution center, which is they're sending packages and UPS and things like this. That job was terminated, and the person who was there, George Grattan at the time, said, I think you'll be interested with your background with working with Jimmy Curtis, who at the time was a journeyman silversmith at the James Getty House. And from there, I went to the Getty House, and Mr. Curtis sort of took me under his wing, and he said, I'll teach you to make these things. And at the time, there were beautiful silver items in the cases and all there. And I said, right. You know, he says, well, I'll teach you. And so I, shortly after that, got an apprenticeship. An opening was there, and I've been there for about 26 years now. And so I've completed an apprenticeship. It was 7 years for the apprenticeship. And now I'm a journeyman, and I've been there for 26 years making many of the things that I never thought I would be making before. So
I would ask you if you like your work, but after 26 years, that's sort of a dumb question. How long? I know it depends on what you're making. Like you said, you're now working on a teapot.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
How long does it take to make by hand a teapot?
Well, in Colonial Williamsburg, our jobs are there to interpret 18th century silversmithing, to explain of how these things were done with the tools and techniques that were available to people 200 years ago. And so we don't spend the time that we could if we weren't there talking to folks about making a teapot. And this teapot, particular teapot I'm working on, if I sit down and worked on it for, say, 10 hours a day, it would take about a bit over 200 hours to make, about 225 hours, which about 5 weeks if you worked on it 10 hours a day. But our jobs, again, were there to explain about how they were done in the 18th century. So, for instance, this morning before I came here, I was working on the base of the teapot, which if I sit down and worked on it, I could do one in about 10 hours. But that spread it out to about a week just to make the base of it. But it's fun to put it together, and the people are so interested in what you do. And it's this particular teapot I'm working on, I like to make. It has a strainer inside, and we decorate it very fancy. And the only way you see the strainer is from the inside of the teapot, which is really, really neat. So sometimes we put the person's initials in it, and then they flip over that.
What do people ask you about what you're doing?
What do they ask me about what I'm doing? Basically how things are done. People are curious about what I just told you, where we come from, and how do we learn. And I think the folks who come by can put themselves in your place because they're all apprentices as well, because no one really knows about silversmithing, for instance. And so when I remember when I was an apprentice there, people could identify with you because they were in the same shoes you were in, for instance, just learning. And so as a journeyman, they said, well, they like to talk to the apprentice because I said, well, what are you doing and what are you learning today? And it's kind of frustrating also when you're an apprentice because you're learning to do things. And sometimes I'm there as an apprentice figuring something out. And people will say, well, what are you doing? And it's kind of embarrassing because I don't want to say, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure it out. But now I'm very comfortable about what I'm doing. And so it's no problem. I put it down. I say, well, this is what I'm doing and so forth. So it's,
who is more interested in silversmithing, adults or kids?
They both are. I can't say one is more interested in something other than the other. That's pretty difficult. I never really thought about that. But I guess kids have different questions. They want to know how long it takes to make something and how much things cost. Mm-hmm. And people are pretty much curious about the construction of it. And then you get the people who sort of know about metalsmithing and goes, well, do you do this particular technique like soldering, for instance? We solder different pieces together. We have to what's called anneal the silver, which everyone sort of thinks when silversmithing is like blacksmithing. They all picture you get the metal red hot and you pound on it and shape it and so forth. And silversmithing is just the opposite than blacksmithing. And for instance, with silver, you always work the silver cold or at room temperature. You hold it in your hands. But after pounding on it, it gets hard. So then we heat it and cool it to soften it to work it again, and that's an annealing process. So once we explain that, and I had a guy just this morning says, wow, I really never thought you worked the metal coal. And says, yeah. And they always think, you know, you always look at old Westerns and the town smithy is the metal's red hot and that's what they associate with. But silver's just silver and gold is what we work with. So they're just the opposite from each other.
I hate to tell you this. Mm-hmm. I thought you worked with it warmed.
Yeah, really.
Yes. So it's more blacksmithing, mm-hmm. if I understand it correctly, mm-hmm. is really a great big hammer and you just pound on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yours is a lot more delicate, I should think.
You would think, wouldn't you? Yeah. But we cast, there's a 50-ounce ingot I cast, and we use sledgehammers, and we hammer out the metal. It takes sometimes with hammering out a 12 or 13-inch diameter circle. Three of us are hammering on it with large hammers, and we have to put earplugs in. It's very deafening, and so people, when we do that, people come in and goes, wow, like you, I thought this was a delicate art, but they see us wailing away on this piece of silver because it's so thick to spread it out into a sheet that it baffles them. People don't see that. Yeah. In the 18th century, they used, in England, they used rollers. But here in the colonies, since that technology of the rollers was not allowed in the colonies here, it was all done by hand. So that's what we do here in Williamsburg, and hammer it all up by hand.
Okay, now, after you hammer it out, is there a delicate part? I mean, you're making the teapot
right.
now that you
right.
enjoy.
Right.
Surely you do not take a huge hammer and whack on the teapot.
Exactly. Now, once we hammer it out the sheet, and then it's a process of moving the metal into shape, which is a smaller hammer, of course, a shaping hammer. And then once you have the piece in the shape, we use a smaller hammer with a very flat polished face on it, which is used for hammering out the hammer marks made from hammering it into shape. And then it's a process where we use the same hammer and we hammer out the hammer marks made from hammering out the hammer marks made from hammering it into shape. So it's very, very smooth. And then there's certain techniques in silver once the piece is made that a lot of people maybe associate with, like engraving the silver, putting the decorative techniques in it, saw piercing, which is cutting out designs. There's a lady in the shop that does wonderful saw piercing work. She's a journeyman as well. There's a beautiful basket in our shop. You must see. It's really wonderful. It's about 700 hours of work goes into making it. So people see us cutting out designs in it and things like that, and that's the delicate part that they see. But a lot of people don't see the hammering out of the ingots and all. So,
well, unless you told me, I would never have suspected that that's what went on. But now that when you think about it, it makes a certain amount of sense. Mm-hmm. If you can't do it any other way, mm-hmm. then arm power is about as good as you're going to get.
Absolutely. Yeah. Labor was it in the 18th century. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Were people proud of their silver in the 18th century? Did they show it off the way? I know now ladies who own silver tea sets will still, to this day, put them out where you can see them
absolutely.
When you go in. Was that the case back then?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Silver was money, and you displayed, you showed your wealth in the 18th century. And not only were these things functional, but they were very nice to look at. They were very beautiful pieces to look at as well. So they displayed them, and much like people who have money today, they sort of show it with their cars maybe and houses, and you have your boats or sometimes maybe planes or something in your yard, you know, or something like that. So in the 18th century, it was the same way. You showed your wealth there.
Yeah, but I think displaying your silver teapot has a bit more taste than your boat. Since I've never had the opportunity to do either, it's easy for me to say.
Well, don't feel bad.
Oh, really? You don't have one either.
I do not.
But the difference is you could make your own if you wanted to.
Yes, 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 yes. But it's a lot of work as well. And, it's like the mechanic has the worst running car, and the carpenter house is always in repair. So
I
don't
have a... And the kids need shoes. that's the one I was always told.
Exactly, exactly. One thing my master silversmith told me, Mr. Curtis, he says, if you're a silversmith, you have to be aware, because if all your relatives and friends know you have silver, and if you give gifts, they expect bigger and better things all the time. So be aware. Always give cards and flowers. So
I'd never thought of that, but it does make a certain amount of sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
You mentioned on the basket where the lady does the wonderful open work that it took about 700 hours.
Yes.
What takes the most time?
Actually, it's about half and half to raise the basket up, and you have to see this piece to there's cast parts on it, so you have to make patterns. The patterns are made in wood, and you make a sand impression of the wooden pattern. Once the impression is in the sand, you can melt silver, pour it into that impression, which makes a casting. Okay, you clean the castings up. You make several castings to solder together to make a frame. And then you take your sheet of silver, you hammer it up like a big bowl, and you solder this pattern around the top. There's also what's called chasing or repoussé work, which the silver's bumped out from the inside, filled with tree sap or pitch, and hammered back in on the outside to make a decorative design. And then you melt this pitch out. You make a base, you put it on, a handle, and so you have a big decorative bowl. And then Gail, the lady, gets it, and she draws the designs, drills holes, and feeds the saw blade through, and she cuts out different designs. It's about 1,300 holes in this particular piece. So it's about half and half. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.